Aaron Brooks, IU Christians. This question is for kind of both Robert Cox and Kerry Cox. I know you both have had great success in evangelism and as far as quick growth in a short amount of time, at least compared to many other ministries. And what things have you both done or tried to do to continue discipleship, to continue the discipleship process going? I know you have these six lessons, and part of what I got from that is that you let people join in on other studies, and I saw that to be a really awesome strength. But what else do you do beyond that in continuing discipleship?
Well, I think just the beginning with the six studies and just conceptually understanding that those are a launching pad and that's all they are. It does not matter, you know, Lynn was mentioning, it doesn't matter how what studies you go through. As long as a person makes a commitment to be a disciple and that surrendered life, that's the issue at baptism, I believe. That's the heart of baptism, is the surrender of life. But the idea that you can be born again and then the difficult part is behind you is just, you know, it's laughable. The idea that thinking that pregnancy is the hard part of raising kids, and ladies, no offense to you, but you guys, if you've had teenagers, you know that if the only thing that's worse than, you know, than labor pains is teen pains, okay? They will stretch you and rip you more than anything that happened during those 9 months, all right? That's right. And so the same thing's true. Just you have to know, good parents know that that's just the beginning, and churches have to have the paradigm that this is the beginning point. And there is love and discipline that goes on with the development of a child in the home and the child in the church. So everything that we do is designed. And understand, our growth has really been, you know, minuscule compared to what we believe it should have been. We, you know, it took us 16 years to send out a team. We had envisioned doing that within 10. And that was reaching people, training them, and sending them out. And somebody says, well, you just probably had your schedule, you know, wrong. You were too fast. I don't think that at all. I think we just weren't the men that we needed to be, nor did we, you know, call on God in prayer and depend on Him the way that we should have. But one thing that we have tried to build is from the very beginning, everything we do is designed to bring about the growth and development of those people. The conversion is only the beginning. So from our small group, the expectation that you will be a part of a small group, to the training, you know, I get together, Rita and my wife get and I get together every Tuesday morning at 6 o'clock with a group of our small group leaders. Every week where we're those people checking what's going on, how are things going, how are you doing personally, trying to have those relationships and pushing them. And it is a constant battle. And if we ever give the impression somehow that you just do these things and then it just works out like this, look at the ministry of Jesus and you'll find out that's just not true. And He's a lot better than we are at it. So it is a constant battle that you have to wage war in, but you have to have a war strategy. So I would encourage you to go back and say, okay, what is it you do? Number one, our first line of defense is that small group you are a part of. The second is you have a trained small group of leader who is your mentor that you're in relationship with. The third thing is that through our ministry, you know, most of our, you know, on any given night, you can come to our 12-step program, you can come to our sexual abuse ministry, to our dysfunctional family ministry, to our grieving, to people who are grieving. All of those things are designed to say this small group leader wants to connect you and connect with you. They may not be able to help you, but there's a comprehensive plan that goes on for everything to get us where we need to be. We did a ministry, and I hate to go on, we did a ministry leaders meeting and a small group leaders meeting because we've had problems coordinating those two. And I had them decorate their small group. I write your ministry and decorate a card, and you'll win a prize for the best-looking card because I wanted to really think about it. All of our leaders are there, and I said, guys, now on our let's talk about what our goal is. Our goal is to reach people for Christ, to help them become like Christ, to send them out for Christ. That's just our little moniker, our vision of what we're going to be. So I said, guys, where you are, let's say that's just life, and this goal is where we want people to be. And I said, now I want all of you to throw in, and in that was our small group. Ourselves is our fundamental small group ministry. I had them throw the cards up in the air. They were arrows. Every one of them was an arrow. And so I had them throw them up in the air, and I said, now here's the assignment. You have to touch our vision statement, but you can only step on the cards that are there. Now we had about 60 cards, 40 cards there that day, and it had to only go 15 feet. The closest anybody could come was my wife. She was 5 feet away from the vision statement. Then we sat back and said, okay, now let's intentionally connect these arrows. What's your ministry? How does this lead? And how does this progress people to that? When we finished from the back of our auditorium, which is tiny because, you know, we could take those steps and take baby steps and get there. And the whole point was activity doesn't accomplish anything other than tire you out and make you feel a little bit better about yourself. But there is this intentional strategy between our junior high ministry to our campus ministry, and we built bridges and said, okay, your ministry is wonderful, but if all it does, you know, and we tell our Celebrate Recovery people, if all your Celebrate Recovery ministry does is get people sober, what good is that if they're going to go to hell? I mentioned last year, man, if they're going to hell, if I'm going to hell, I'd rather go drunk. And it's just a waste of time. All of those ministries, you know, are designed like that. So it's a very intentional plan that we have in all of our ministries. But it all goes back to that personal relationship with that person through that small group to know what they need to encourage them and to push them on.
I think that, like, obviously, like, philosophically, and that's what the direction. I think specifically, like, what we do is after someone has made the decision to become a Christian, after they've been baptized, you know, we do make sure they're in the small group and things like that. But we have books, too, that we go through. And we take the purpose-driven life, and we use it as an opportunity to teach. There are some things in there people look at, and they're like, I can't believe you'd have them read that because the doctrine here is wrong in there. Well, that gives us an opportunity to show them what the right doctrine is and why and how to go about, you know, doing that. It's an opportunity for us to disciple them. And we take them through that, and there's a couple of the books. But I would be willing to bet if you talk to TC probably in the past 2 years has probably read more books than he has in his entire life in the past 2 years. We encourage and promote. We put books in the hands of our leadership all the time, and our leadership puts books in the hands of the people in our small groups. I constantly have my people reading things. We get together, we talk about what they're reading, about how it applies to their life. And I would be willing to bet that probably the people in our small groups in the campus ministry probably read as many books as most campus ministers do, I would say. So, I mean, we make it a very focused thing that says, look, you're a student. If you're a student, you're supposed to be studying. And so we really push that they do that, and they're doing everything they can to learn.
With the books, we hope that for the first 6 months, they have the purpose-driven life is 40 days. And again, we walk through that, and then there's Deep Convictions, which is a publication Tom Brown put together, I think, years ago. But it takes them through another 3 months. And so for 5 to 6 months, we're hoping that we're building the habit of daily quiet time. But their small group leader or somebody within their small group, and they will sometimes rotate this to help engagement. But for 6 months after becoming a Christian, the ideal is, and again, this is the ideal. Not everybody will do this, you know. But the ideal is that for 6 months we've helped them form the habit of quiet time, a personal relationship with God, and a connection with somebody who's helping them walk through that with their older brothers and sisters. If we can get them to do that, the people who do that well, they end up doing well. The ones who don't, you know, obviously we're trying to catch up with a malnourished baby.